Yes, the best Christmas present of all is Jesus Christ. We're so very thankful, children, for again that message to us in word and in song. Such a wonderful job. We give thanks to God for you and for the many hours you spent. It was very evident that you have practiced for that. That went so smoothly. We could hear you so well. And then most importantly, God could hear you. And because this is done for God's glory and to honor him and to glorify him. So we give thanks to God for you and for helping us to worship Jesus Christ and to know that he is the best gift of all, the best present. And even too with a lot of the reminders of a lot of the Christmas decorations that we put up every year, we do it without a lot of times even thinking about sometimes some of the deeper meaning that is found there. So again, we're thankful for our children and for reminding us again of those wonderful deep truths that are found sometimes in the simplest, most ordinary things around us in the Christmas season. God's word was also something that they as children, they were quoting from scripture, and we heard that from some of the narrators. Their voices kept bringing us to God's word. And one of the things, of course, we as God's people here in Beaver Dam, we continue to say it's so important to be in God's word. It's to memorize God's word and to hide his word in our hearts. We have been memorizing together Isaiah 55. And we're up to a new verse that's in our orders of worship here in that box, the scripture memory. We have 2 weeks to memorize this, but this verse and the number of verses around it keep getting us thinking about Jesus. And so let's say our scripture memory together at this time. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Isaiah 55, verse 5. Before we spend a little bit of time in prayer as God's people, a couple of things just to take note of. One is for our offerings today, besides the general maintenance fund that the deacons will be receiving as we leave our worship service this morning. The other offering is for Borculo Christian School. So we'll be praying for Borculo Christian in our prayer this morning. Tonight's offering that the deacons will be receiving is for the Holland Rescue Mission, now called the Gateway Mission. And so tonight's offering will be for that important work as well. So we'll be praying for those different ministries. Speaking about tonight, tonight begins our January series with the churches of Roskin, North Blendon, and Borculo, and North Street Christian Reformed Church. And we will be welcoming Reverend Dirk Cucci from the new pastor at North Street Christian Reformed Church. He'll be leading us in worship here tonight. I will be at North Blendon. We'll be thinking about the series, the January series, about known but to God, about individuals in scripture who don't have a name, aren't given a name, but the Lord has worked through them in wonderful ways to bring about the redemption and the saving of his people and reveal who our God is, who Jesus Christ is. And so Reverend Cucci will be leading us in worship here this evening. We also saw the children put a number of ornaments on the tree. We were anticipating, of course, we always do the Sunday school program on Christmas morning, but because of weather issues, that's why we're doing it this morning. But for those of you who were worshiping online with us because of being snowed in for the children, I do have those Christmas ornaments as well that you're welcome to receive from me. And I have those. You can get them from me in the back of church this morning at the end of the worship service. So that is just a reminder there as well. Before we go to God in prayer, a couple of things we'll be keeping in our prayers. Here we give thanks to God for some matters of healing. Ken Rillema continues to heal up. We're able to worship with Ken this morning. Thankful as he's been struggling through some painful shingles, but the Lord has been bringing healing for him, and so we give thanks to God for that. Also be giving thanks to God for Marilyn Gelder. She was in the hospital for a couple of days, and we prayed about that last week, Sunday. The concern was that she had suffered some minor strokes, but they did some tests, and they're thankful that they revealed that no strokes had occurred, but in fact it was some complications from some medication. And so we're thankful for that. And again, as the doctors have been making things better there, that things have improved in Marilyn's life as well. Bob Meyer also is asking prayers for Sherry Meyer. Sherry was in the hospital for a few different days this past week. You know what? She's been struggling with some weakened lungs for the past number of years, and she came down with influenza and pneumonia at the same time. And so she was in the hospital with some acute respiratory failure. She's back home now. It's very weak. They're asking for no phone calls just so that she can sleep and it doesn't wake her up from that. But we'll be praying for Sherry here this morning, and the Lord's upholding her as she's very weak at this time. Many others, too, will be praying for Brother Tim Ponstein. Tomorrow he's going in for his skin graft surgery. That was the anticipation after quite a number of 6 weeks of antibiotics, and the doctors have given the green light to go forward with that. So we're thankful for that. We'll be praying for Tim and also for the Ponstein and Boss family, too. Tim's brother-in-law, Chuck Boss, was called home to glory, and so the family will be gathering and meeting and also saying goodbye, and so we'll be upholding them in prayer as God's people. A lot to pray about this morning, so let's go to our God in a time of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, on this day where again we've been reminded in song and through the words of our covenant youth, Lord, of the good gift of all, the best gift being Jesus Christ. And so we are thankful for that story of Christmas that the Lord, in many ways, as Christians, we continue to celebrate every Sunday, because every Sunday is an opportunity to give thee thanks, dear Father, for the good gift of Jesus Christ. And so we are thankful for the Bible. That's a good gift to us too, because through thy holy word, we are reminded about Jesus and we are told the good news of his coming. We're told of the angels appearing to the shepherds out in the field while they were keeping watch over their flocks at night, and how they appeared to them and declared to them the good news of great joy that are for all people. That today is born for you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so we are thankful again for that good news that comes to us from that good gift from thy holy word from Scripture. And so we're thankful, too, that it is in a language that we can read and we can understand, and that our children can recite back to us as well and remind us in song of that. Lord, we are thankful for our children, for our covenant youth. We're thankful for the faith that we see in their lives already and we hear from their lips, Lord, as evidence in them. We're thankful for the families that teach them and that raise them and nurture them in the faith and pray with them and again, read Scripture to them. And Lord, that discipline them when they need it, but should give them love and hugs too as they need it. Lord, we're thankful for Christian families, for dear mothers and fathers who exhaust themselves in many ways to provide for their children in ways that they need. And so, Lord, we're also thankful for Sunday school teachers, and we're thankful for Mrs. Bussis. We're thankful for the work that they put into this program. Thankful, Lord, for the times of practice and the memorizing of lines. Lord, we're thankful again for children who are happy to gather and together and to gather with thy people, and to say it is good to be able to talk about Jesus, to talk about him at Christmas time, and talk about him all the days of our lives. And so, Lord, for their faith, for the freedom that they have to be able to declare the good news of Jesus, for their boldness in a way sometimes, Lord, that we are not, we give thee thanks for our children, Lord. And as they continue to grow older and grow into adulthood, Lord, continue to lead them and bless them in their development and in their growth. Lord, not only physically and in terms of health, but spiritually too, dear Father. Lord, we are thankful that we can uphold each other in prayer too. We're thankful for matters of health and strength. We're thankful for matters of healing. We give thee thanks for our brother Ken and for ongoing healing for him. Lord, it's good to be able to worship together again with our brother in this way. Continue to give strength in him. Dear Father, also too, for our sister Marilyn, thankful for the time of healing in her life, that she is home from the hospital and that the days are better now as well. Lord, strengthen her and the Gelder family. Dear Father, we also want to lift up before thee the Myers. We think especially of our sister Sherry, Lord, who is very weak even on this day. Lord, we pray a blessing even on the antibiotics that she continues to receive. Lord, we pray for a strengthening even just day by day of the breath which she takes. We know that her lungs are weak, Lord, and so we entrust her into thy care, the one who is the very breath of life itself. And so, Lord, uphold her, give her comfort, Lord, bring her healing and uphold our brother Bob as well as he cares for his dear wife. Dear Father, we also pray for our brother George Morin, a week where he has struggled with COVID and has been recovering. We're thankful for recovery. We're thankful, Lord, for better days. And even in times of weakness, that he knows where his strength ultimately lies, which is in Jesus Christ, the gift that was given to him as well. Dear Father, we also pray for our brother Tim Ponstein. We pray for a blessing on him as he goes in for the skin graft surgery tomorrow. We pray that his body receives it well, that it hears, and Lord, that there is healing, that this wound closes up that he has been fighting with and struggling for so long now. And so we entrust him into thy care. We pray that that goes well. And Lord, also too, while his heart and the heart of the family are grieving, as they say goodbye again to a dear brother-in-law, to an uncle, Lord, we uphold them in prayer, and we pray that the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who has conquered death itself, who came into this world so that he might go to the cross and yet rise again so that we might have life, our sins might be forgiven, Lord, that that message would be an encouragement to the Boss family, the Ponstein family, we pray. And finally here this morning, Lord, we also pray for the ministries of these offerings we will be receiving. For Borculo Christian School, we're thankful for that long history. We're thankful for that great faithfulness of so many teachers over the years. Lord, of the covenant youth who are enrolled there. Lord, for the good challenges that come with more students. And so, Lord, we ask a blessing on these offerings that they would encourage them in that work. Lord, also too, for the Gateway Mission in Holland, thankful again in this season where it is cold outside, that there are warm beds inside, that there is discipleship that takes place, Lord, that there is a learning of thy holy word there, and where, Lord, where there is a modeling of what it means to follow after Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those lives of those men and those women, those children who are blessed through this ministry and through this mission. Lord, that their lives would be forever changed by the gospel of Jesus. We're thankful that we can partner with them through these offerings tonight too. Lord, above all, we are thankful again for the ways that we have been blessed with the greatest gift. Lord, that offering that was given to us, that sin offering offered up on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the unblemished Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, who by thy grace and by thy favor through the gift of faith has taken away our sin. And now we who are a people who have been freed from that sin, we continue to worship thee and call upon thy name, praying all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we started out with a Christmas song. You could say, well, the children were doing the Christmas program, so it goes to reason that we sing Christmas songs. But actually, all those Christmas songs we're singing this day are also ones that tie in so well to our sermon. Because in the Heidelberg Catechism, which we're returning to, again, having taken a little break from it during the Advent and Christmas season, actually is a Lord's Day with the Christmas theme that is just embedded throughout. And so we're going to sing another Christmas song. Of the Father's Love Begotten in Age. It's an ancient one in our Psalter Hymnals number 342. In our Grace Psalter Hymnals number 342. Of the Father's Love Begotten. Let's rise. We're going to sing together verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
invite you to take out your Bibles as we turn together to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 this morning, where I will be reading verses 9 through verse 17 of Colossians chapter 2. You can find that, by the way, on page 1833 in your pew Bibles. Page 1833 in your pew Bibles, Colossians chapter 2. And also, as I mentioned, we are in the back into the Heidelberg Catechism, up to Lord's Day 6 of the Heidelberg Catechism. That's on the back of your grace altar hymnals. I invite you to turn there as well, page 866. Page 866. There are four question and answers. I'll ask the question. Together we will respond with the answers there in Lord's Day 6. It's on page 866. First, let's ask the Lord's blessing, shall we, as we spend time in his holy word this morning. Let's pray. And again, dear Father, for another good gift, again, the gift of thy holy word, we thank thee. Lord, for the time that we now have to spend in it, we ask a blessing on it. Open our eyes to Jesus Christ, that good gift given to us, as we now ask for the working of thy Holy Spirit to accomplish this. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 2, starting with the 9th verse, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And now Lord's Day 6 of the Heidelberg Catechism. It's first asked of us this morning, why must he meaning Jesus Christ, this Messiah, Savior, why must he be truly human and truly righteous? God's justice demands that human nature, which has sinned, must pay for its sin. But a sinner could never pay for others. Why must he also be true God? So that by the power of his divinity, he might bear the weight of God's anger in his humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. And who is this mediator, true God and at the same time truly human and truly righteous? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given us to set us completely free and to make us right with God. How do you come to know this? The Holy Gospel tells me. God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets and portrayed it by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Finally, he fulfilled it through his own dear Son. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the other week during my family's Christmas get together, I'm always glad to see the joy of the Christmas season fill up the faces of my family, especially when it comes about so clearly in the faces of some of my younger nieces and nephews. They would, of course, get very excited when in the evening it was time to open up presents. Some of them are still young enough that this is a very exciting time for them to have Uncle Tyler call out their name and hand to them a Christmas present. They were often perched. I could see that perched on the edges of their knees, ready to kind of roll their bodies forward to reach out and grab that present from me. Their faces looked very intent on whose gift I might be reaching for next under the Christmas tree. They had made sure to take a quick inventory beforehand of which gifts were for which person and which presents were for them. But they were certainly energized with the Christmas spirit, you could say, that evening. At one point when I even handed to them a family gift meant for all of them and from one of the families, as children of that family, it was like almost throwing a piece of raw meat into a fish tank full of hungry piranhas, their fingertips rapidly just pulling away this colorful wrapping flesh, exposing the gift underneath. And of course, after all the presents, they were opened up on that evening. Christmas song sheets were then distributed amongst us as family members. That is what we do every year, passed around at this Christmas time for Christmas carols to be sung now as a family, with my mother playing at the house organ and one of my nieces there on the piano. But as I looked around as we were singing those Christmas carols, those Christmas Christian hymns that evening, I couldn't help but notice again there too, the spirit of Christmas seemed to be brightening up the faces of these members of the family, children and adult alike, as we sang wholeheartedly of Jesus' birth there in the basement of my parents' house. It was as if for a few moments on that day, the joys and the glories of Christmas had descended upon them. Practically, they were shining. The spirit was shining through their rosy red cheeks after having been running around even earlier that day and the smiling faces there as they sang. In that moment, of course, I was even sorely tempted to lay down my song sheet just for a minute and take pictures of the family as they were singing, look at their faces. But at the same time, it also didn't feel quite right either. Because some things are just meant to be remembered with a mind and turned into a heart memory. Trying to take a picture in that moment felt maybe a bit like intruding something profane into a holy moment. Those are what help, of course, make sweet memories around the Christmas season for God's people. Almost the glories of heaven's Christmas seem to break into our lives and our countenances as believers, no matter how young or old we might be. But then we also know those countenances, those glories, they seem to fade away. And those same positively angelic children turn into children who cry and complain, because they don't want to go yet, even though mom and dad said it's time for them to pack up and it's time to go home and we have to get ready for bed. Or a squabble breaks out over who gets the last piece of grandma's fudge. And those sin natures make themselves very clear for all to see. I know the Sunday school children early on, they had a skit about the things that we decorate our house with around this season of the year, Christmas time, how they can, of course, be ways of reminding us what Jesus Christ has done for us as his people. But decorating the house at Christmas, and then as most of you probably did just this past week, you took down all of those Christmas decorations and those lights and all those things that you had, that the stuff that you had put up around the house. That can also bring out some of the worst in us, the best and the worst, maybe the procrastination or the complainings or the squabbles and the fights that can come about even then, all of which remind us how even when we have and we do the things that are full of Christmas glories, our sin natures are still always there and they seem to get the better of us eventually. And a moment of joy can be turned into an occasion of sighs and of promises that we're never going to do this again. Heidelberg, isn't it, of the problem of sins as it was beginning and how because of our deeply rooted sin natures, we needed a great deliverer since we are unable to pay the debt of our sins by ourselves. And no doubt even just this past week, you and I were both reminded through plentiful occasions of these sin natures, which are present within you, and they're present in our loved ones, creating quite the dilemma, quite the problem. A dilemma, a problem that needs a solution. So what's the solution? The solution, of course, is for God to provide for us another person who is at the same time truly righteous, which is to say someone who is at the same time true God. And that, of course, brothers and sisters, that's the story of Christmas. God came down from heaven, taking upon himself our humanity, born of a woman, born under the law. And Lord's Day 6 this morning in the Heidelberg Catechism, it reminds us, in essence, what we have been hearing about during our Advent and Christmas season in our sermons, how this great deliverer, this Son of Man who was to be born, needed to be both truly the Son of Man, truly human, but also truly righteous. Fully God, fully man. And how God had this plan of redemption in place that he had been working through throughout time, unfolding it through the pages of Scripture. Lord's Day 6 this morning in question answer 19, it wrote about how God was slowly unpacking this great plan of salvation, unpacking it before our eyes on the pages of Scripture, particularly there in the Old Testament through the prophecies and these promises that were communicated to God's covenant people of the Messiah who was to come. How the promise from God of a coming great deliverer came already early on to Adam and Eve after they had fallen into sin there in the Garden of Eden, and how those promises kept on coming at different times, different places, through different voices of God's people throughout the Old Testament, of course, until God finally fulfilled those promises through his own dear Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Lord's Day 6 reminds us about here this morning, which in many ways is a great summary of our Advent and Christmas season. And how even here on this morning, this Sunday morning, where the children were able to offer up their Christmas program, which told us again the story of Jesus' coming. And the quirky thing is that while during the Christmas season we see, we hear the glories of Christmas work its way into our homes, and the decorating of those homes and of our family gatherings, and when we gather to sing the Christmas carols, we see it in the countenance of God's people, and a lot of times even his children as well. And yet still we know it's not going to last. We can't keep Christmas going on year round, because most quickly even grow bored with the glimpses of heaven's glories here on earth. And we resort back to our old sin natures, which are inclined towards complaining, towards quarreling and fighting, towards being bored with the things of God, towards laziness when it comes to the things of God. Or the shining joys of the season become overshadowed by losses and afflictions of life, much like the overcast skies of West Michigan in our wintry season. But imagine again with me for a moment meeting a person for whom the glories of heaven never fade in his speech, in his conduct, in his attitude from day to day. Imagine meeting someone who never grumbles or complains about God and against him. In fact, someone who is perfectly content with all that God has given to him. Someone who doesn't quarrel with family members, or who doesn't talk back to dad or to mom. Someone who never says he'll do one thing but ends up doing something very different. Someone who always lives up to his responsibilities. He doesn't shirk his duties. Someone who is always glad when it's time to go worship the Lord, even though he's surrounded by people who aren't always gladsome. And in fact, sometimes make it even difficult to be around them. And of course, by now you know that I'm speaking of Jesus, who's all those things. The one in whom the glories of the Christmas season never faded away, but who instead he embodied the heavenly countenance, which we sometimes get glimpses of it, don't we, amongst ourselves. But he truly did embody in his countenance the glory of heaven. For within his body dwelt all the fullness of God, as the Apostle Paul reminded us here this morning in Colossians 2, the 9th verse. What did Paul write again in verse 9? For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Now that's worth repeating, Christian, because increasingly people are unaware of that truth. In fact, even as I say Jesus' name, I'm reminded of a friend of mine who's a teacher in a public school. He was mentioning recently how during this time of year to his elementary school students, when Christmas comes around, he tells them about Jesus. Christmas is celebrating the birth of Jesus. And when he did that this past December, over half of the children in his class, they wondered out loud, who's Jesus? You see, they had never heard of Jesus, even his name, in a more conservative Midwestern public school system. They never heard of Jesus before. What a mind-blowing revelation it would then be for these children to hear that Jesus wasn't only a man, but Jesus was also God. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, we read. Now, whether they believe such a thing, of course, that's up to the Holy Spirit working in their lives or not. But the first place to begin, of course, is to tell them God became a man. He didn't stop becoming God when he became a man, when he was a man, and now Jesus being in heaven, he doesn't stop being a man while he is God. He is forever man, forever God, truly God, truly man, because he became that man that we needed, where the glories, the countenances of God are so often hidden behind the darkness of our fallen sin natures. Yes, even for those of us who've been reborn to new life through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, such glories and countenances, however, never fade, never dim in Jesus Christ, are never hidden in him, because he had no darkness within. He had no sin nature. The fullness of the deity lived within him. And so where God is, there cannot be darkness. There cannot be sin. And because this is true, brothers and sisters, we can have deliverance. We can have freedom. The Apostle Paul writes about some of the implications of this being true with Jesus. The implications of Jesus Christ being truly God, but also truly man. But being truly God, meaning that he didn't sin, he couldn't sin, and he therefore has all the power over death and over life. And Jesus has the power to forgive sins. Again, what did Paul write starting with verse 11? He said, in him you also were In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Of course, that's a key point there, Christian, isn't it? You were dead in your sins and the sinful nature that you and I were born into. But thanks be to God, we have Jesus, who because of the fullness of God dwells within him. He had no sinful nature. You did, I did, but Jesus never did. That's why the current spirit of our age, of our culture around us, where everyone is encouraged in so many ways, implicitly, explicitly, to discover yourself, turn within yourself, be your true, authentic self. That's a fool's errand. Because all voyages into our deeper selves will inevitably shipwreck on the shoals of our sinful natures. Because death awaits you there. The Holy Spirit tells us there in Colossians 2 verse 13 what? How you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature. That sinful nature needs to be circumcised. It needs to be cut away. It's the old nature with its old sins that need to be dealt with. And Christ alone, Jesus is the only one who can deal with them. As we're told there in verse 13, it is he who forgave us all our sins. Sin is what makes a mess of things. And our sinful natures distort then how we see God, how we see our relationship to him, how we see our place in this world. It doesn't make any sense to turn inward to a sense of identity about this is how I'm supposed to live my life. It won't ever work doing it that way. Because your inner self is as corrupted as my inner self. Instead, we need to look outward to Jesus. We need to look to his inner self. Because only in him has the fullness of the deity dwelt. And in fact, he calls you to look in faith upon his inner self. To look in faith upon his countenance and glories and find in him the fullness of your salvation. To find in him the human that you and I cannot ever be on our own because of our problem with sin. But it takes his spirit to cut away at that sin nature in us. To make us something new and beautiful instead. So that what is to come, what awaits us as God's people is going to be a time and a place where the glories and the joys of Christmas, they're not ever going to fade. They're not going to get displaced by fights and quarrels because there's not going to be any more sin. But that only happens in Christ Jesus. Just as the glories of the old covenant holiday gatherings and celebrations weren't in themselves ever going to be enough, so too our present holiday gatherings and celebrations won't ever be enough. They won't last either. The Christmas tree is going to be packed away, probably was by you this past week, or tossed outside if it's a real one. Christmas lights are taken down. The Christmas goodies, they're all eaten up, or soon will be. The Christmas carols, we're probably going to stop singing those. Maybe for another 11 months, we'll start up again with most of them come late November. It doesn't last. But thankfully, Jesus does last. He is the eternal God. And because he lasts, all who are united by faith to him will also last and be transported into a glory that will never be dimmed, that will never fade, and where the sorrows of life's ills and addictions, diseases and cruelties will be no more. That too is what happens for all those who are found in Jesus Christ. As we share in his glory and the strength of his divine nature strengthens us into eternity itself, Paul writes. And we say, what a day that's going to be. And even now in this present life, we as Christians, we begin to experience the joys and the glories of what awaits us, this foretaste of glory divine. A foretaste that would change the lives and the outlooks of so many others who are dead in their sin natures. Which is why we should keep on telling others about Jesus. Surprisingly, more and more, again, have never even heard his name. We ought to tell people who he is. They have no idea. Or what he did. Or why Jesus is so very important. Not only in this Christmas season, but throughout all our days, so that God might be praised, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. And truly, dear Father, Jesus Christ is the best gift of all. He who is truly God, truly man. And so we give thee thanks for the wonder, the majesty, the miracle of the incarnation of the living God that we're reminded of again in thy word and in the Heidelberg Catechism and by thy covenant children this day. Lord, for the gift of Jesus, may we be truly thankful. And Lord, may the glories of Christmas And the glories of the Christ of Christmas continue to fill our lives and into eternity itself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we sing of David's city, once in Royal David's City, in our celebration hymnals, number 286, for our hymn of response, and our celebration hymnals, number 286, once in Royal David's City. It speaks about this incarnation of God coming down in the flesh here, and he dwelt among us. Let's rise. We're going to sing together all four of these verses. We're going to receive God's parting blessing, and then afterwards our doxology is in our Grace Altar hymnals. It's a hymn we sang earlier, number 342, of the Father's love begotten, but it will be the last verse. The fifth verse of that will be our doxology here this morning. That'll be 342 in our Grace Altar hymnals. Let's rise, however, and sing once in Royal David City. With these words from Numbers chapter 6, God sends you out into this day with a word of peace. He says to you, now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace both now and forevermore. And all God's people said,
amen.
Thank you. Amen.